missions in the Ashland area, which includes our mission in Portage and Sheridan. The Catholic people of the area were taken care of by priests from Wallagrass, Eagle Lake, Colton, Presque Isle, Fort Fairfield, and Caribou at the beginning. These priests would come over here, sometimes just when they were needed, to perform weddings or baptisms or funerals. And then they would come occasionally to say Mass for the men, especially the men working in the lumber camps in the area, so that they could have Mass once in a while, especially during Lent and around Easter. Now, the first mission in the area was Frenchville. This is the section that we have on the Presque Isle Road today between Ashland and Washburn, Route 164. Presque Isle actually took care of Frenchville from 1885 to 1889, where the pastor of Presque Isle would come on a rather regular basis to give the sacraments to the people and to offer Mass for them whenever it was possible. There was a first attempt to have a parish and with a resident priest back in 1889. The bishop named Father Joseph Casaubon on July 5th of that year to become pastor of Ashland. He came up here, saw the conditions. The country was, the people were poor. The country was not too well developed. There was no church and no rectory. And Father Casaubon just stayed a few days, and then he left, went back down south, and later on he was named pastor of Westbrook. And he stayed there for over 50 years.
Where did he say Masses?
He had Masses in the homes at that particular time because there was no church, and I don't believe there was a school either. I've heard Mr. Henry Clark state that is either at his house or his uncle's house that they had Mass. Mrs. Claire Carney also stated the fact that they had Mass in that area at different times during that period. And then when Father Casaubon leaves, well, Presque Isle takes over as a mission until 1899. So in that period, even though they tried to have a parish, Presque Isle was taking care of the parish. Now the first pastor, and that, well, not the first pastor, but another attempt to have a parish in 1900, and you had Father Joseph Drelet, who took residence in Frenchville and was there for a couple years. This didn't work out either for some reason. There was not enough Catholic population to support a priest, so he had to leave, and once again Presque Isle took care of the people, the Catholic population here in the area. Now around that time, in the beginning of the early 1900s, those lumber mills at the so-called Ashland Mills, which would be Sheridan today, that were built, and then you had a lot of people who came in, men to work, and then they brought their families. And it got to be that it was about 150 families in Frenchville at that particular time. So on October 26, 1902, Father Drelet was named a pastor again. And this time, this was started or founded as a parish. The canonical beginning of the parish dates back to this date, October 26, 1902. And Frenchville became the mission of Sheridan. So Father Drelet built a combination chapel and rectory near the present railroad bridge in Sheridan. In that area, I don't know just exactly where, some of the older residents remember going to Mass there. And then Father Drelet stayed here till August 23, 1907. And some of the records, or I've heard some of the older priests say that even with 150 families, that most of the time on Sundays you'd only have 15 or 20 people at Mass, so that it wasn't really a flourishing parish at the time. Now in September 1907, Father Mutku, who was the pastor of Eagle Lake at the time, takes care of Sheridan. Father Drelet leaves, and from September 1907 to December 1908, Father Mutku and his assistant, Father Eugene Sirwa, take over the care of the church in Sheridan and then also the church in Frenchville. This was during that time, around in that period with Father Mutku, that the first church in the area, the first Catholic church, was built. And they called it very appropriately Our Lady of the Snows in Frenchville. And this church served till the middle 1960s, where it became too old and they had to tear it down. Then in December 1908, Father Joseph Rainbow was named pastor of Sheridan. And at this time, Portage became the mission of Sheridan. Until that time, Portage had been the mission of Eagle Lake. Eagle Lake was a smaller parish and needed some of the revenues to help out in their finances, and this is why Portage had been their mission. Now, Portage is going to become mission of Eagle Lake again. It'll come back to Sheridan. It sort of seesaws like this for a number of years. When Father Rainbow left, actually, in 1910, Eagle Lake took care of Sheridan and Portage. So Sheridan, even though it was a parish, did fall under the care of Eagle Lake a number of times. When the pastor had to leave, and before they had a chance to name another pastor, the priest from Eagle Lake would come over. Now, 1910, in December, Father Alfred Peltier is named pastor. And Portage, again, becomes the mission of Sheridan and also Frenchville. So you have the church in Sheridan as the mother church, and you have a church in Frenchville, and you have a church in Portage. Now, in 1911, Sheridan was sort of a boom town. And because of the revenues that they had here and some of the old records, they tell us that Father Pelletier told Portland that he no longer needed financial help. Up till that time, Portland would sort of send a subsidy to help pay the salary of the pastor and pay for part of the heating and things like this, because the parish was not self-sufficient. But in 1911, around that time, Father Peltier told the bishop that he was self-sufficient. So because of this, Portage again went back to Eagle Lake. So Portage became the mission of Eagle Lake again. Now, Father Peltier built the present church and rectory in Sheridan between 1910 and 1913. The rectory was built, and then the present church, although the inside was not finished, this was finished at a later date. And the church was blessed on August 26, 1913, by Bishop Walsh. Now, from 1911 to 1914, Portage remained a mission of Sheridan. And in that year, 1914, there was a Father Charles Cassidy who lived in Portage from May to August. They had a little room built on top of the sacristy where he lived, and he was a resident priest. I don't know if it was really an attempt to have a resident pastor there permanently, but he did stay there for a few months. And of course, this did not work out because the parish was too small. So Father Cassidy left, and then Portage again went back to Eagle Lake as a mission. Eagle Lake took care of that. This Father Cassidy, by the way, I went to his funeral when I was in the seminary in 51 or 52. The superior of the seminary told us there was an old priest from Maine that had died, and that his funeral was that next morning, and told us that if we wanted to go, we could go over. And although none of us knew the man, some of the seminarians went to the funeral. And we got there a little early, and there was a little chapel where the body was exposed, and there was only one old man that was there. This old man was talking to Father Cassidy and crying and sobbing. And this is something I never forgot. It sort of struck me that, you know, this one old man, anyways, was his friend. And no relatives or no priest from the diocese, I guess he had left the diocese a number of years ago, had taught in Canada, but he only had this old friend, and this really struck me as something. And of course I was a seminarian and all enthused at the time, and I thought, well, gee, when I die, if I can have one person at least cry as sincerely at my funeral, I'll be happy. But I've never forgotten that. See, this old fellow cried with Father Cassidy, not knowing at the time that he had been up here in Portage. Now in 1915, in the month of August, Father Joseph Odier becomes pastor of Sheridan. And then he's the one that finished the inside of the church. It also says in the records that he remodeled the rectory. So I imagine that the rectory had not been finished either, that it had been constructed so that they could live in there, but then had not been finished as a, you know, as a house to be lived in. And he also fixed up the old cemetery. And this old cemetery was cleaned up last year by the KCs. This is a section that was all overgrown in a swampy area, and this has been cleared up since then. It was sort of forgotten for maybe 30 years until it was brought to my attention, and then this is why we cleaned it up, to make it look like a cemetery. And in that period also, from 1915 to 1918, Father Odier managed to pay $4,000 on the debt from the church. And apparently this was the only debt that they had. So we don't know exactly how much the church cost, but it'd be between $15,000 and $20,000 at the time for the church that we have in Sheridan. Now in 1918, Portage plays yo-yo again and comes back as Mission of Sheridan. At the time, there was Eagle Lake had taken care of it because it needed the revenues, but it was very inconvenient for the priest because Portage was much closer to Sheridan. You had a train that went there daily, or it was easy to go there by train during the winter when there was no roads, when the roads were, they had roads, but they were all snowed in. So the mission, Portage, becomes the mission of Sheridan, and then it has been the mission of Sheridan since 1918. Now in December of 1920, Father Alfred Rennie becomes the pastor. And during his stay here in the parish, he stayed about 3 years, he redecorated the churches in Sheridan, Frenchville, and Portage. In 1923, Father Auguste Alvry came to Sheridan. Father Alvry was a Frenchman. I had the pleasure of knowing him as an altar boy. I say pleasure. I knew him as an altar boy. He was a hard man to deal with. He was half German and half French. And sometimes he sort of gave the people a hard time. We still have people who remember encounters with him that date back some 40 years. And they have not forgotten Father Alvry because of this. Now, Father Alvry put water in the rectory. There was no running water. So he put water and baths and flushes and things like this. And then also steam heat was installed in the rectory during that time. And he also put new pews in the church in Sheridan. Now when they built the church in 1913, up to 1920, I don't know if they just had makeshift pews or chairs, but then Father Alvry did put either new pews or put pews in for the first time. I don't know just how this went. Now from 1926 to 1929, you had a Father Joseph X. Martin, who was pastor. Of course, in that period, this was just before the Depression, and in the records we have nothing, no major development was made, so the people just had the regular church services. There was nothing done to the church, to the churches or the rectory or any of the buildings. From 1929 to 1933, you had Father Antoine Thibault. Now, this was right in the middle of the Depression. Apparently, there was no work. In some of the records that we have, it is stated that the people were on relief or worked a little bit if they did find work, but these were very hard times. So actually, nothing was done. Well, when I say nothing was done, they kept the faith alive, and they had mass and sacraments and things like this. But as far as developing the parish in a material way, nothing was done during that period. The next pastor was Father Felix Martin from 1933 to 1939. I had the opportunity of being assistant to Father Martin at Holy Cross in Lewiston for 5.5 years. Now, when he came here, one of the first interesting things that happened is that there was a fire in the church. which seriously damaged the back wall and the floors, so this had to be immediately repaired. They also started the new cemetery. The actual cemetery that we have in Sheridan was started at that time, when Father Martin bought a piece of land which was used for that, because the other cemetery, the one that's in back of the church in Sheridan, was a swamp and it was almost impossible to bury people there. Some of the things that are interesting, for instance, Father Martin used to tell me that when he was pastor in Sheridan, he had 350 families in this period of 1933 to 39, the people being mostly in Sheridan and Frenchville and then Portage. And at the time, when he came here, he had four Catholic families in Ashland, in the town of Ashland. So today we see that this is all reversed. There's hardly anybody left in Sheridan or Frenchville, and then the bulk of the population is in Ashland itself. Father Martin left in December 1939 and was succeeded by Father Emmanuel Grondin. Father Grondin, by the way, is one of the two living ex-pastors of the parish. There is only Father Monsignor Grondin, I should say, and Father Saint-Amand. All the other ex-pastors have passed away, Father Albert having died just recently. Father Grondin repaired the three churches in the area. They needed painting and all kinds of repairs. And then in 1944, he bought a property from a Mr. McKay on the corner of Station Hill and Main Street. There was no church in Ashland at the time. So in 1944, Father Grondin bought that property and then converted the building into the present church, the Church of St. Anne's. At the time, he had Father Armin Landry, who was his assistant. And we're told in the records that the KCs were also formed at that time, started, or organized, I should say. And then the men did most of the work, the men of the parish. I've heard a lot of people comment on this, that they remember when the church in Ashland was started, how it was started, what they did. And it used to be a fire station, used to be a grocery store, and today, well, it's our present church. Well, this was done with Father Grondin, and of course he had a mission here because of the increase in Catholic population. So that, from 1944, you had four churches in the area. There was one in Frenchville, Our Lady of the Snows, St. Anne's in Ashland, you have St. Mark's in Sheridan, and Our Lady of the Lake in Portage. Then in September 1946, Father Wilfred Albert became pastor of St. Mark's Church and Missions with the residents in Sheridan. And starting at that time, this was after the war, and I guess also because a number of priests in the diocese were in rather great numbers at the time, they began having an assistant. Father Landry had been assistant with Father Grondin, and then with Father Albert you had a succession of young assistants. Father Landry was one. You had a Father Beaumont, who has since gone to Florida. He's now in the Diocese of St. Augustine. You have Father Henri Dallaire, who is today pastor in Hollowell. You have Father Leonard Fischer, who is now pastor of Benedicta. Father Albert, with these assistants here, worked in the parish. They redecorated all the churches. Father Albert was a great liturgist. He loved beautiful music and nice vestments, so he bought new vestments for all the churches. He also repaired the rectory, which hadn't been repaired for quite a while. And during his stay here in the parish, he started the sodality for the women. Apparently the sodality, from what I can see, that they had one in Frenchville, for the group in Frenchville, they had one for Sheridan Ashland, and then another group for Portage. Later on, these were all merged together.
What year was this?
Well, in the 40s, in 46. Then in November 1952, Father Eugene Betty became the pastor of St. Mark's. At the time, He had the following assistants. There was Father Paul Perry, who is now pastor of St. James Church in Woodland. You have Father Gerard Putta, who is now the pastor of Grand Isle and Lill. You have Father Raymond Lozon, who is also at St. Joseph's, the provider in Portland. He's there, he has a place there, a thrift shop for the needy. And you also had Father Richard Poudin, who is now in the service. He was in Vietnam and now is back in California. So during this time, Father Betty had took care of the properties. There was nothing new started, and the parish kept getting better financially and also spiritually, as more and more people that come to Mass during these years as time goes on. And Father Betty stayed here till 1958, and he was named pastor in Eagle Lake. Now in May of 1958, Father Henry Saint-Emma became pastor. Now with Father Saint-Emma, the new church in Portage was built. It was started in 1962, or thereabouts. And then they moved in the basement of the church on July 25th, 1963. And they had Mass there for practically a year while they were finishing the upstairs of the church, while they were building the church proper. They had Mass in the basement. And the old church, which was falling down actually, was taken down.
Where was the old church?
The old church is on the north side of the lake, just before you get to the railroad track. You take the street next to the church, the actual church, and you go up. And just before you cross the railroad track, there's a little side road that goes up there to the right, and the church was right on that corner. You can still see the foundation. Of course, the church there had 54 steps to go up to the church from the road. So it was very hard for the older people to go up there. In the winter, it was dangerous. And when they had funerals, it was just murder there.
Well, how come they built it there in the first place?
Well, they had the lot, and it was overlooking the lake. It was a beautiful spot. And, of course, today, with the automobiles, there's no parking space. So this is why the church was brought closer to the center of town. And then, of course, the church was old. See, it had been built in the early 1900s. So this is why that we have this new church there. So Father Saint-Emma built that. Of course, with the aid of the parish, not only the people of Portage, but all the Catholics of the area, it cost a little under $40,000. It was a little over $39,000 for the pews and for everything. Of course, we've had a little few little repairs that we had to do after that, but then to build the church that we have today in Portage, it was under $40,000, which was something very interesting. And something I wish we could duplicate today to build a church here in Ashland. Now with Father Saint-Emma in 1966, after he built the church in Portage, he also bought a property in Ashland. The house that used to belong to one of the bosses or something of the Grafton Lumber Company on School Street. And then he had this redecorated or finished and made it a rectory. So the actual rectory there was bought by Father Saint-Emma in 1966, and it serves as the rectory today. So these were two big major improvements during the stay of Father Saint-Emma, building the church in Portage, and then also having this rectory here that we have today. And Father Saint-Emma left Ashland in 1968, in the month of September, to go to Springvale in Notre Dame Parish, which happens to be my hometown parish. And I was named pastor here in 1968. And during that time, well, we have done a few reparations. We painted the church in Ashland, which hadn't been painted since the 40s, I believe. So this was all painted anew. We put a little side altar for the Blessed Sacrament. We had to paint the church in Portage, of course, last week because of the damage done, the smoke damage we had during the winter. So the parish keeps growing all the time. It keeps getting better. We have more and more people coming to Mass. We still have some of our parishioners who are not too faithful, but more and more people do come to Mass. I think there is an increase in faith also because we have much more communions now than we've had before. This shows it's a good trend when things go like this. There is talk, a serious talk, I think, of building a new church. Right now we have the problem of two churches here for the Ashland area, one in Sheridan and one in Ashland. And if we only had one church, it would cut the expenses in half for the heating and things like that. We also need the facilities for CCD. And if we had a new church, all this would be incorporated in a new building.
And do you have the land for the new church?
We do have the land. The Washburn Trust gave us about 6.5 acres. The area between School Bridgham and the Sheridan Road, all that large field belongs to the parish. And it was given to the parish in view of having a church. If ever we wanted to build a church, that we would have the land for this. So the parish council, of course, in the since the Vatican Council in the parish, we have a parish council, a group of lay people who help in the government of the church, we could say of the parish, help in the financial affairs and in religious matters and all this. People more and more have their say. So the people are interested, and the people do want to have a new church here in Ashland. Actually, we have contacted architects to have plans. We've heard of an architect there that has plans for a very simple and inexpensive church. So we have written in, and Maurice Saussier, I believe, has written to others in the hopes that we will have plans so that we can decide just what kind of building that we need.
Now, maybe you can tell why, when all the new changes started and some of the differences between now and the way it was before.
Well, the new changes came in with the Vatican Council, this in the early 60s with Pope John. Some of the major changes, one of the great changes, I believe, is going to the vernacular, going from Latin to English, which happens to be English here. It can be Spanish or French, depending on the locality. So that now the people understand everything, all the prayers of the Mass, everything that is said, the people easily understand. And I've had comments from our non-Catholic friends who came to funerals or weddings, how much more interesting it was since we have the vernacular, where the people know what is going on, and even if they don't have a missal or don't know anything about the ceremonies, is that they can follow very easily. Then you have the altar facing the people, so that the people participate much more readily. You have more singing from the congregation, which tends to make the liturgy more meaningful, the Sunday Mass and the daily Mass more meaningful. So all these little changes help to make our faith more understandable to us, the Catholics, and also to the non-Catholics. And of course, you have all kinds of other changes. The baptismal rite has been changed. Of course, it's basically the same, but it's all in English now. The formulas have been adapted to our modern times, a modern way of thinking. And you have a greater participation in all these sacraments with the congregation. When you had a baptism before, usually just the godfather and the godmother would bring the child to the church or to the rectory. But now the father and mother are asked to come with the godparents, and then they invite as many people as possible, all the friends and relatives, to come over. And it's a community, a congregation affair when you have a baptism. It's the same thing with our marriages. There is the choice of texts that we can read from the scripture, and all this are more numerous, so that the young couple can actually have a choice of many options. The procession coming in, the people, the bridal party standing around the altar, the sign of peace, which I think is a great thing in the liturgy. To show our brotherhood, and this is expressed very well with the sign of peace that we have at Mass. So many of these changes are very meaningful, and this might be one of the reasons why our people come to Mass more often, and why more people come on Sundays, why they support the church better, and all these things. So it does, it did, the council did help a lot.